with Cam now in the care of Coach Daboll on that side of the football, what have you seen already between when you first started breaking a sweat with Cam back in the spring to now that you're like, okay, I see the gradual improvement? What can you identify for me there?
Well, the biggest thing is just the constant communication. You know, they're constantly communicating. They're constantly talking about the different things that are happening, not only in the game, but in practice, from drill to drill to play. And, you know, so as long as the dialogue is strong and as long as there's open communication and honest communication, I think you're always going to find growth. And Cam, one thing about Daboll, he's not gonna sugarcoat anything. He's gonna tell you exactly where you are and what you need to get done and how you need to do it. And to Cam's credit, he's taking all the coaching, wants all the coaching, and he's attacking it with every fiber in his body.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast presented by Prize Picks. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of Titansize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, the Yada Yada King, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, Titans back on the practice field on Wednesday. They're literally out there right now. It's an open practice, so we got notes flooding the timeline, videos of individual drills. Teron Davenport's got his first note package out. How you doing today, Justin?
I'm doing well, doing well. Titans with a open practice today, as you mentioned. Currently ongoing. I'll be interviewing cornerback Marcus Harris after practice, so I'm looking forward to that. As they continue preparing for a Friday joint practice with the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, leading up to a preseason game, week two of the exhibition against those same Seahawks on Sunday. So pretty important practice occurring right now on this Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, so we will get into all those notes as we go along today. We got some other stuff we want to talk about too, transaction that happened, and maybe some injury updates. So let's start there. Titans have signed a running back. What's his name?
De'Ernest Johnson.
De'Ernest Johnson, who's been like one of those kind of passing down backs, caught a lot of passes in his career for a running back.
If I remember correctly, I'll take it from here. I might know him a little better than you do. He's a pretty physical runner. Like, didn't he? He had a run with the Browns a couple years ago where he like dominated for a stretch. I remember when they signed, like they had a bunch of injuries at running back, and there was like a primetime game where he was like the story of the game. I remember that well. He's like a quality NFL running back who probably deserves more opportunity than he's going to get here in Tennessee.
Yeah, so we'll see what this signing really means. I have a theory, but I don't know if it's – obviously, I'm speculating completely here. I feel like this is to get them through two more preseason games. They're dealing with some banged-up running backs. Tony Pollard's had a sore foot, missed the last two practices. He was back on the field on Wednesday, so that's a good sign. Nothing to worry about there. Kalel Mullings has been dealing with a hip pointer since, what, the joint practices with the Niners, or maybe even since the Nissan scrimmage, actually. He left that's what it was. He left the Nissan scrimmage with a hip pointer, hasn't returned to practice yet. Nick Singleton has been held out the last few practices as well. Ever since the preseason game, he hasn't played again. So not sure what these injuries are. We haven't heard that they're serious. We haven't heard that anybody's concerned about them, but clearly there's some level of concern if they're bringing in another running back. I think this is purely so that they don't have to overload some of the guys on the depth chart, so that Spears and Pollard don't have to take a beating during preseason and even during practice. Get another body in there to just take some carries. That's my guess. I mean, he could be in contention to make the team, but I don't really think he is.
I think you're right. It's unfortunate side of the business, but like, as you mentioned, they've got a ton of running backs sidelined right now. Pollard only getting back today, and you obviously don't want to, you know, overwork him in the preseason. What do you got coming up? You got a joint practice Friday, and you got a preseason game on Sunday. Some heavy workloads for the team coming up. So it's just really about, we need bodies to get through this thing without stressing Pollard and Spears. And then, like, you'd love to run guys like Mullings and Simmons and Singleton in the preseason, and you might not get a chance to do that. So it's just, you know, Pollard, Spears, and Michael Carter. That's not enough when you consider you don't really want to run Pollard and Spears a lot. So, yeah, Johnson's probably here to get them through these next couple days, in all honesty.
And they waived the other running back that they had just signed like 2 days ago to make room for Johnson. So I told you guys when they signed him, I wasn't going to learn his name. Sitting here right now, I can't remember his name. It doesn't matter. He's not
Dominic Richardson, maybe? Something like that.
Who cares? Who cares? We got a question here in the chat from Dalen. Is Mullings going to make the team this year? I'm not so sure. I mean, he's got to get healthy to make the team. Yeah. Or maybe he gets stashed on IR and you don't have to worry about it. And you just get a free player on the roster to come back at some point midseason when other guys are banged up. But, I mean, he opened the spring stuff as the number three back, according to the unofficial depth charts. Read into those however much you want. But even in the pecking order, Mullings was ahead of Singleton and Chestnut and everybody else, Michael Carter, in the room, just behind Spears and Pollard. Well, not in that order. Pollard and Spears, I should say. But I think, like, if he was healthy, he'd be more or less not a lock to make the team because nobody
lock is way too strong of a term for my liking, but I'd probably put him on there if he was healthy. But you got to assume like Julius Chestnut's not far off him to begin with, and that this injury is helping Chestnut make up ground, right? Like Chestnut ran well in the preseason first week, as he always does. He's played special teams for years, so yeah, you got to think Mullings is at risk of starting on the PUP or IR or being left off altogether. Certainly, he's got to get healthy and fight for his spot.
Yeah, exactly. Other injury updates to quickly get out of the way here. Carnell Tate, who left Monday's practice after taking a big hit from Kevin Winston Jr., and Mitch Trubisky left Monday's practice with some sort of bicep injury. Paul Kaharsky reported that both guys should be fine, so no cause for concern or panic there for the Titans' first-round pick, which is great. No cause for concern that Will Levis is going to have to be your backup for any stretch of time, which is great. Trubisky was back on the practice field on Wednesday, clearly showing no signs of discomfort or anything. Carnell Tate appears to be sitting out this practice on Wednesday. But again, with PK's reporting, I'm choosing to believe that this is sort of a precautionary thing. Let's make sure he's ready to go by Friday's joint practice, I think. I mean, we don't know that. But if PK says he's going to be fine and then he's not at practice, if without the PK report, I might be a little concerned. But because we got that, I think we're fine.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think his absence from practice on Wednesday, you know, created a bit of a social media tizzy, if you will, which is normal when a highly, you know, drafted guy misses practice due to what's currently an undisclosed injury, if you will. I do think Kuharski's report, you know, sort of helps ease the concerns. And I imagine we'll hear from Robert Saleh after practice and he'll provide an update. And hopefully he says it's not serious, it's precautionary, whatever, you know, confirming what PK told us or reported this morning. I guess where my mind goes, do they hold him out of joint practice Friday? Yeah. Do they hold him out of the preseason game Sunday? If he's only available for one of those two things, I bet they prefer to have him for the practice than they do the preseason game. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but Robert Saleh sure appears to put more stock into joint practice than he does an exhibition contest. So we'll see. I imagine we'll get a timely update from Saleh after practice. Quickly on Mitch Trubisky, I mean, good news because
Wait, one sec. Yeah. Let me just answer this question from Hershey. I don't know if I misspoke or if you just didn't hear me. Did I misspeak? I don't remember what I said. But Carnell Tate is sitting out of the practice to answer Hershey's question. Go ahead on Trubisky.
Yeah, quickly on Trubisky. I mean, good news because a bicep injury could sometimes be pretty serious, right? So some of them, I mean, it could be season-ending potentially at times. So the fact that he's back on the practice field Wednesday, obviously it's a big nothing burger. Glad they dodged the bullet there, if you will. And Will Levis is not the number two quarterback. Although Levis just connected with Hank Beattie for a huge downfield play at practice, according to Easton Freeze. Easton even tweeted, sure, Will Levis to Hank Beattie for an explosive gain. Who knows? What is like the 20th training camp practice? They got to be in and around that number, I think, because Seahawks just had their 20th training camp practice.
They're at 10 or 11. 10 or 11, something like that. They had their ninth practice on Saturday. I'm pretty sure practice on Saturday was number nine. So, yeah, I don't know why that is such a big discrepancy. But I totally agree with you, by the way, about Carnell Tate's availability coming up. Like, the joint practice allows you to get, like, a full game's worth of reps, essentially, over, like, multiple team periods against the opposing defense. The preseason game, you're not showing your hand. We saw how they used him in preseason week one. Like, you just go run some clear out routes, Carnell, get some cardio in, and then we'll put you on the sideline, wrap you up in ice or bubble wrap or whatever. So I think that there's a lot more value in the joint practice than the preseason game itself. So if they could only have him for one, you'd assume they'd want him for Friday, but Friday comes before Sunday. So maybe they'll have to settle for taking the preseason reps. Random question here from an angry fetus. What beat reporter is best for tracking Cam's completion percentage on the day? Love touchdown notes, but or love TD. Love TD's notes, but I wish they could be more detailed. I would say Jim Wyatt is the go-to for that. He puts it in all of his observation articles that he posts after practice. Nick Suss also does a good job tracking the completion percentage stats. It's also a training camp, so I'm not too worried about like completion percentage in a practice where he should be trying things. Although it is worth pointing out, he went 21 of 25 in Saturday's practice, and I want to say like 22 of 28 or something along those lines in Monday's practice. So really good completion percentages in those 2 days. We have heard already from TD that,
Hershey was trying to set you up and you missed.
I mean, we keeping a book right now, we ask.
Oh, we have heard.
That was the wrong one.
Well, that one also applies sometimes.
Cardinal Tate.
Yeah, what you did was the we ass drop, I know, which is what you should feel like for missing the cue from Hershey.
Whatever. What the heck was I talking about? Completion percentage? He did miss an easy throw to Alec Iamanner over the middle of the field on an RPO early in this practice. We'll get to practice notes here in a second, but I don't know. This is catching my eye a little bit. It's not like I'm worried about Cam's accuracy, but the miss to Wandale in the game, the first miss of the preseason game was an RPO swing pass where he just really rushed the throw. Is Cam like trying to throw the ball too quickly on these RPOs? Like get the ball out of the running back's gut and get it out of his hand so fast that he's not actually throwing an accurate pass? I don't know. Something to track. Not a concern yet, but definitely like on my radar.
Well, TD just dropped his practice notes 2.0, and here you go. Ward
wait,
to Wandale Robinson.
Wait. Don't get into that yet. We got some stuff to hit. We're 12 minutes in. We should take our first break, Justin, and then we'll come back. We'll dive into all the practice notes. Don't jump the gun on me here. But before we go to break, Justin, let's talk about Prize Picks, baby, because Prize Picks, we got some preseason action coming up this weekend. I'm excited for it. I'm gonna play some plays, some lineup projection plays this weekend in preseason. How exciting is it?
Well, let's go. You know, there's no better place to run your game than Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. Don't tease me, Gravy. What you got?
Well, it's unpredictable, you know, because it's preseason. That's also what makes it fun, though. So what I'm doing is I am taking Joey Sly. I think, you know, based on what we saw last week, Joey Sly is going to get his chance to kick. He kicked really well. So I'm going more than 1.5 field goals made for Joey Sly. I'm going more than half a passing touchdown, one passing touchdown for Cam Ward in this game. I think they want him to bounce back, and I think they'll give him an opportunity to do so, maybe on the first driver or the first few. And then we got a report from Jim Harbaugh that the Chargers plan to play their starters because he said they need reps in the new offense. So I'm going to go with Justin Herbert to throw more than 27.5 passing yards. Herbert's projection has moved twice since this morning. So if you like this number where it's at, I'd get in on it now before it goes up even further.
Tennessee fans would love to see Cam Ward throw more than 0.5 touchdowns, so I love that one specifically. Download the Prize Pick apps today and use code CLNS to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Again, download the Prize Pick apps, use code CLNS, and get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup.
Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. All right, audio audience, we'll be right back. You know that 6 p.m. moment where dinner's supposed to happen, but there's nothing in the fridge? That used to be every Tuesday of my life. But now, I keep the freezer stocked with Omaha steaks. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, even seafood, chicken, sides, not just steak, all delivered right to my door. Arrives frozen and ready to go. Yes, frozen delivery can be that good with Omaha Steaks, because it's steakhouse quality without steakhouse prices. I grilled the ribeye burgers last weekend. They were beefy, juicy, and actually these burgers tasted like a steak, because it is steak, ground from real cuts. If you've never tried Omaha Steaks, start with the Burger Perfection Flight. Comes with 20 premium steak burgers from 5 distinct cuts, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you can get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. It's football season, Justin, the best time of year to make sports bets as far as I'm concerned. And whether you've been betting your whole life or just trying to get into it this season, MyBookie is the best way to place your bets.
My favorite part about MyBookie, you don't need to be an expert. They have NFL lines every week, every game. Find your sweet spot, place your bets, and make betting fun again.
Yeah, Justin, and my favorite part about MyBookie, I can place my bets wherever I am, wherever I want to, before the game kicks off. Like, it doesn't matter where I am. MyBookie.com is available, and so I'll be playing there all season long.
And guess what? If you're new to MyBookie, the Music City Audible has you covered. The Bet Back bonus gives you protection on your first play. Sign up with our promo code MCA, opt into the Bet Back bonus, and take your first shot with a safety net.
Yeah, that's right, Justin. If your first wager loses, you get it right back. No questions asked. Make the most of football season. Make all the action as important as you possibly can. Get in now. Cash in on the season with MyBookie. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. But remember, Audible Army, always bet responsibly. Never gamble more than you can afford to lose. MyBookie! Welcome back, audio audience. Let's dive in. Wednesday's practice. Justin, you were trying to get us rolling on it before I stopped you and threw it to break. And now I'm taking the reins off. It's all you, baby. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, Graver nearly cut my you-know-what off for trying to get into the second portion of TD's notes. So let's get
Maybe I just want... Maybe it's like Mike Vrabel and I just want to win a Super Bowl, baby.
Hey, listen, I'm open to it. we were talking Cam Ward before the break. Couple of notes from TD here. He hit Wandale Robinson on two straight throws to begin the team period. Great timing, TD called it, on an outbreaking route. And then a hole shot versus zone coverage. Next play, overload blitz coming from Cam's blind side, his left. And he hit tight end Gunnar Helm in the flat. So it sounded like a pretty productive start to team period for Cam Ward.
That's a nice job by Ward reading the blitz there. That blitz recognition stuff, you know, the high-level quarterback stuff where this is what we need to see more of. Just, like, consistently execute the offense, especially when it comes to protections. Don't take bad sacks. Recognize blitzes. Get the ball where it needs to go and throw it accurately on time. You mentioned the great timing on the first Wandale route. Didn't have great timing on Thursday night last week in the preseason game. So hopefully that stuff is coming around here, getting a little more comfortable in the system. It's obviously going to be different when you got live bullets flying, but it's nice to see here as they gear up for what's going to be a pretty tough joint practice against the Super Bowl reigning Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks. Robert Saleh mentioned on Monday, I believe, that it's going to be a good challenge for the offensive line because it's going to be a lot of different looks from the front, the way that Seattle's front plays, very different from the way his front plays in Tennessee, very different from the way the 49ers front played last week. So good to get all these guys a bunch of different looks, especially for guys like Fernando Carmona, who apparently got run over on one play and thrown to the ground by Jeffrey Simmons. But Austin Schlotman steps up and knocks Simmons around so he can't get to the quarterback. That's the kind of stuff you need to see from this offensive line. Even when one guy loses against the best defensive tackle in the league, you got other teammates stepping up to protect your quarterback. So I think that we'll keep an update here as practice rolls along. Also got a note here from Connor Newt, who posts his Newt's notes from Titans training camp. He's included on my Titans beat list on Twitter, which if you're not subscribed to, it's totally free, obviously. It's just a Twitter list. But it's got all the Titans beat writers there. You got all the practice videos, practice notes, stuff like that. It's a great follow for Titans fans. He says, great day from Femi Oladejo. Oh. Fast and violent. A lot of great pressures and run stops. Also said, good day from Anthony Hill. So looks like a couple of young defenders stepping up and playing well in today's practice so far.
You do love to see that. Quickly on the Simmons-Carmona note, there was more than one note. Sounds like Simmons got the better of Carmona on a couple occasions. I like it. You're going to make this fifth-round rookie your starting right guard. I mean, no better way to stress test him than just having him repeatedly go up against Jeffrey Simmons in practice. Better than any D-tackle he'll face this year. Now, listen, he's going to face some really good D-tackles, guys who are a lot, you know, better than him and are probably going to give him fits and, you know, maybe get the, there's going to be some games where we're coming out and saying Carmona's, you know, probably rough around the edges or needs to get better. That's par for the course when you've got a fifth round rookie starting at guard, but he's going to be better prepared for it because he faced Simmons on all these occasions here at practice. So I love that they have that matchup going. Can I give another note on another young lineman, or are we not getting there yet?
Yeah, let's do it. Someone we talked about yesterday, I believe, a little follow-up. We got two follow-ups from yesterday's conversation. Very timely of us, Justin. And, you know, I had nothing to do with it because I brought two fun topics to the table, but you brought the other two, and that's where we got follow-ups today. So take it away.
I've got one on Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon, who you and I spoke about at length quite a bit yesterday, thanks to an initial report from A to Z Sports that mentioned he was working higher up the pecking order at, was it Monday's practice, I believe, got some early reps at left tackle. Well, today he came in for J.C. Latham fairly early at right tackle, according to TD. Again, right tackle, his most natural position, but Titans recently working him both left and right side, strongly indicating they're trying to see if he could be the swing tackle. Look, they've got a huge hole there. We've talked about it all offseason. Austin Deculus is not the answer there. He's been pretty poor lately. So they're putting more on Crenshaw Dixon's plate to see if he could be the answer at swing tackle. And they followed, TD followed that note up with, he made a great play. Said he got out, I believe, in space and just bulldozed the linebacker over. So like to see Brandon Crenshaw Dixon taking advantage of this opportunity. Be a phenomenal outcome for the Titans if he's actually capable of being the swing tackle.
Absolutely. Make me eat my words, please. I want nothing more than to be wrong about how badly the Titans need to go sign a swing tackle. But yeah, I do think that that is extremely notable. They are really stress testing him. You mentioned it. Left tackle Monday, right tackle today. It's like that's how you find out if a guy can play swing tackle. Throw him in cold, totally random points of training camp at either tackle spot and see if he can hold up. And if he can, which, you know, it looks like he is today, That's excellent for the roster and for the depth on that line because guys get hurt. Everybody gets hurt, but especially offensive linemen has the highest injury rate of any position in the NFL. So another guy that we mentioned yesterday, any follow-up there?
I don't know for sure what you're alluding to, but I think it might be Eric Hallett, the safety, who, I had an article published yesterday morning on him, heavily influenced, I always admit, by a tweet from Zach Lyons that really caught my attention following the preseason game. I wrote a whole article on Hallett and how he might have a chance to be the second team nickel behind Marcus Harris. There's clearly some competition going on for that reserve spot behind the starting nickel. And at today's practice, again, very timely, as you noted, Eric Hallett came down with an interception. I believe it was a tipped ball. I can't remember now if it was true. It wasn't Cam Ward. It was either Levis or Trubisky. It was Trubisky, a tip ball from Trubisky. Eric Hallett came down with the pick. Really, really interested in this guy. And A to Z included him in their 53-man roster projection. I've been doing the same. I think he's a guy who's trending in the right direction. There's a lot of competition for those back-end DB spots, whether it's nickel, whether it's fourth or fifth safety, however you view it. And Eric Hallett's a guy who's clearly and currently taking advantage of every rep and opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And on that A to Z projection, co-written by Easton Freeze and Austin Stanley, just to emphasize how bad Austin Deculus has been, they left Deculus off their projection entirely. They don't even have him making the roster.
And Volson. I think they left Cordell Volson off too. It's like both of those guys we thought were all, like, we probably would have called them locks maybe a month ago or a couple weeks ago, but they've both been bad. And hopefully the Titans don't see a need to force keeping guys. I mean, I think they've got a lot of cover on the interior, in all honesty. I'm not sold they're going to cut both of them, but I think we've reached a point where, you know, probably at least one of them's getting cut.
Yeah, I think so too. And it wouldn't shock me if both of them get cut if they both keep playing terrible. This did happen. Comment here from Ross, wait, no, from Kegs 6. Did I miss Shanahan saying Jim Harbaugh teams are more disciplined than Saleh teams? He said, this is a joke because Shanahan and Saleh are friends, so that's why I want to clear this up here. But the actual quote was reporters asked 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan if he specifically talked to his team about keeping their cool against the Chargers. he couldn't resist taking a hilarious jab at one of his closest friends. Quote, Shanahan, no, their head coach, the Chargers head coach, had more discipline than Tennessee's, Shanahan quipped, referencing the Titans' newly hired head coach. This is a Yahoo article written by Alan Benoy. Credit where it's due. This is just Shanahan having fun with Saleh, who obviously they spent many, many years together on staff, even before they were there in San Francisco, before Shanahan hired Saleh. They had a long-standing relationship from way before that. So that's not a real thing. You don't need to get angry about that or worry that Saleh's teams are going to be undisciplined. It's just Kyle Shanahan poking at his buddy. I do want to bring this point up, Justin, because I came prepared today for this show. Dalen B asking, and this, you know, we're killing time. Let's just be frank with the audience. We are killing time waiting for more practice notes to come out.
Are we? I think this is a good topic. I don't know.
I mean, it's a good topic, but the reason I bring it up now and like deviate from Wednesday practice is we've covered the notes that are out right now, and we will get back to some more when we have them to talk about. Dalen B, is anyone else very worried about our secondary? Look, I'm going to continue to talk about this because it's important to me, and I've talked about it many times already on the show, but am I worried about the secondary? I am a little worried about how they're going to play to start the season. Am I like long-term worried that they overpaid Cordell Flaude and that he's going to be a bust and that Alante Taylor might also be an overpaid bust and that, you know, Robert Saleh can't coordinate a good defensive secondary? No, I have zero concern about that. I will reiterate once again, they are learning a complicated new scheme. They have to get comfortable playing together. A secondary gelling with each other, communicating, being in the right spots, having the right spacing and distribution in their coverage is just as important as an offensive line gelling together and playing as one unit. Secondary has to flow as one unit of four or five or six guys, depending on the personnel on the field. Here's Robert Saleh on the Rich Eisen show talking about where the secondary is at right now, what he's seen from them, and where they still need to get better. And just listen, this is not coach speak. This is real. The secondary is learning a new scheme. It's not going to be successful instantly overnight. In fact, Justin, I can't wait for Friday and Sunday. I don't know if the Seattle starters will play Sunday. They probably won't. They didn't play last week. I don't know. Maybe they'll get some reps, but, you know, Super Bowl winning roster with a lot of veterans doesn't necessarily need preseason reps. But on Friday, panic mode is going to be heightened back into overdrive on the secondary when Jaxon Smith-Njigba comes to town and just absolutely destroys these guys because, number one, he's probably the best route runner in the league. He's a top two or three receiver, if not number one receiver in the NFL this year. And he's going to roast these guys. It's going to happen. And it's great. It's going to be great learning for them, a chance to see an elite receiver come to town and show them where they suck the most and where they still need the most improvement. But anyway, all that aside, here's Robert Saleh talking about where the secondary's at on the Rich Eisen show.
The one thing I'll say is the system is new for everyone. And we are unique in the sense that we're not as much man and match. And because of it, you know, it's hard to transition, you know, from one to the other. And, you know, but to their credit, it's a smart defense and they're learning every day.
So, yeah, it's not, this is the, he revealed some stuff there, some real interesting stuff. It's not a typical match man coverage rules. It's new rules. All these guys are learning new things. None of these guys, as many guys as Saleh and Dable brought in that they played with before, nobody in the secondary has ever played in this scheme. So it's a lot to learn. It's going to take them a bit to continue gelling. There's still almost a month until the first game. So they got 3.5 weeks to nail this in, dial this in, nail this down, but they're not there yet. And it's okay. It's okay to not be there yet. It doesn't mean they're going to get torched by Geno Smith and the Jets in week one. They very well might. I'm more worried about what it looks like in December than I am what it looks like in September, Justin.
I think I'm somewhere in the middle, right? Like I know that, yes, it's a progress and they've got to get better, but I promise you're going to be frustrated if they're bad in October. You know, it's easy to say that now, but, you know, we'll see, right? And it's like, I'm in wait and see mode. I'm not full-blown panic like a lot of social media is, but like I said the other day, I'll reference it again. Don't know what we don't know. All we know is struggled to practice a little bit, weren't great in the first preseason game. Robert Saleh said there's a sense of urgency. I'm with you. I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba probably has quite the day at Friday's joint practice against them. I think even if it, you know, I don't think Seattle will play their starters in Sunday in a preseason game, but Drew Locke's a very capable backup quarterback, and he was good in their first preseason game. He led a touchdown drive in their first preseason game, which I think was nationally televised against the Cowboys. So I think with Drew Lock out there and, you know, Torrey Horton probably, like some good Seahawks receivers, Rashid Shaheed potentially, you're probably going to see a lot of the Titans starting secondary to start Sunday's preseason game. And maybe that's a response or a reaction to what happens at Friday's joint practice. But I'm curiously concerned, if that's terms I could use, but about the secondary, but not, you know, full-blown panic.
Yeah, and you got Montori Foster out there, this UDFA receiver in his second year. If anybody's watching Hard Knocks last night, you know what I'm talking about with Montori Foster, the substitute teacher slash realtor slash NFL receiver. He might tear them up on Sunday night. But I think Roster Grids has it right here. I've been yapping that fans have too high of expectations for our secondary to begin with. We paid two solid to good level cornerbacks a little more than they're probably worth, but that's what we had to do. I mean, I don't know that
like Dan Moore 2.0, right? Like they're just buying time a little bit.
I guess, but they are also guys that are they aren't getting paid as much as Dan Moore per year. Dan Moore's over 20 million.
Yeah, what's Alonte Taylor's at 19? I mean,
18 and a half to 19. Flott's at what, 15? I mean, these are, hang on, there was a comment in here.
I think it's all relative because tackles also get paid more than corners, so it's like,
yeah, that's fair. An Angry Fetus says, free agents are a tough pill to swallow. I think we got our cornerbacks at a good price, but they're free agents for a reason. Like, I guess so, but not all free agents are created equal. The Giants really wanted Cordell Flott back. If he was some terrible overpaid free agent, they wouldn't have really wanted him back. Alonte Taylor was looking for a chance to play on the outside. The Saints wanted him back too, but as a nickel, and he thinks he's an outside corner. Apparently Robert Saleh and Gus Bradley and the secondary coaches agree because he is playing outside corner here. So it's not like these guys were unwanted. It's not like they're Taylor Decker sitting on the market, 34 years old with an injury history, waiting for their chance, or Kevin Zeitler or whatever. It's like these aren't end of the bottom of the barrel free agents that are, you know, walking away and getting overpaid. Like, I think that they were fair prices to pay for these guys. Like we talked about the other day, Devon Witherspoon's getting over $30 million a year, like $35 million a year, something like that. Like, I'll take Cordell Flott for 15 and Taylor for 18 to 19, whatever it is. And Flott is, yes, as the truth points out with a very true comment, aptly named account here, Flott is young, 24 years old. Yeah, he's on his second NFL contract. He's only 24 years old. That's pretty...
Came in the NFL at 20, and he's gotten better every year. So there's hope there. And the coverage numbers, the data, the metrics, the analytics, whatever you want to call them, they've been better every year. I want to say he's allowed a better, like a lower completion percentage each year he's been in the NFL. That's the analytic point that I was remembering. Why don't we take our next break and then come back and do some Q&A with the Audible Army as we also get more updates from Titans practice live Wednesday from the practice field.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, audio audience. Gonna keep rolling on with our practice updates live here as they come out on Twitter and answer some questions in the chat. I wanted to get to this because we just played Saleh on Rich Eisen, and I watched that whole interview, and Atlas with Three Legs points out, Saleh mentioned that on Rich Eisen's show that there were some players moving from outside linebacker to defensive end. Do we know who he's referring to? Roster Grid stepped in with the clarification. He was talking about the edge players who were technically outside linebackers in a 3-4 scheme last year. Now they are hand in the dirt defensive ends in a 4-3 scheme. Saleh did mention that some of these guys are doing really well in this transition, but he said, I'm not going to name names for the sake of competition or something weird like that. But I get why he doesn't want to name names. But yeah, it sounds like these guys are just learning to play in a new system. We will see a little bit of Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers. It's been reported at a training camp that they're moving around the formation. Jermaine Johnson went and talked at the podium about how he's playing on both sides and likes having the freedom to go line up on the left or the right, which is really funny and interesting because Saleh had said early in training camp that we're not going to move these guys around. We're going to stick them at one position and let them learn it. I think what he meant by that was they're going to play D-line and they're going to rush up field. Remember, Saleh said he doesn't like to drop guys from the defensive line into coverage. He doesn't play the simulated pressure game like that, where you have put, you know, a big defensive end who's not good in space has to go cover like a tight end or a slot receiver so that you can fool the quarterback with a blitz disguise or something. Like, he doesn't want to. It's not worth disguising that to put a bad coverage player into coverage. So I think that's what Saleh meant by that. But anyway, I'm rambling now. Justin, you had thoughts on this?
You also have to assume guys who have played in his system before, like Jermaine Johnson and Jacob Martin, are used to being a 4-3 D end with their hand in the dirt. where my mind goes when he says that is, well, like Femi Oladejo was the only one really in this room that was here last year in a 3-4. So, you know, maybe him going from outside linebacker to DE before Jalen Harrell got hurt, he would have been making the same transition. So, I mean, I think if the math is mathing there, it's the guys who were here before Salah got here, whereas the guys who have played for him before are familiar with this, you know, transition, if you will.
That's a fair point. And he actually called out Femi by name in this Rich Eisen interview as somebody who he's been impressed with in training camp so far. I think he even mentioned him twice. So that sounds real to me. And I just mentioned Connor Newt out there at practice saying that Femi has been making plays today. We got some updates on, some of these, I don't want to throw shade at anybody. I appreciate all the beat writers who are out there tweeting plays, tweeting notes, giving people something to talk about. Mello is going crazy on the soundboard. I love it, though. Everybody out there tweeting notes, we appreciate everything they're doing. Some guys like give us very detailed notes and like what the period is, if it's 7-on-7, 11-on-11, team drills, whatever. And then we get some tweets that just say, Kevin Winston, a nice pass breakup on a scramble deep throw for Chim Dike. Cam Ward, good ball to Bellinger on the next play, crossing route. It's like, okay, I don't have any context for what period of the practice this is, or down in distance. Is it move the ball? Is it 2 minutes? Is it red zone? I don't know. I don't know who threw the ball on the Kevin Winston pass breakup. I assume it's Cam Ward because Kevin Winston's on the field. But as we continue to wait and get more notes here, nice to hear Cam Ward with a good ball to Bellinger on a crossing route, I guess. Justin?
Yeah, sure. Sounds like it. But we did, and Terry McCormick noting, kind of repeating what some others we had said earlier, that Anthony Hill and Eric Hallett have been making a lot of plays at practice today. I started a bunch of questions. I started a few. I don't know if we want to start getting to those here as we start.
Let's do it.
Slowly winding down the stream. But if there are, you know, more, no, practice is wrapping up really soon, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll get
less
in some
than 10
final
minutes.
Notes. Yeah, yeah. We'll get in some final notes if they come our way. But why don't we start answering some questions? I had started quite a few, maybe more than you realized.
Here's one from The Truth. Whose voice is that on the
Cardinal tape
audio? That's Robert Saleh. That is the phone call during Thursday night of the NFL draft when the Titans called Cardinal Tate to tell him he was making a pick. Mike Borgonzi calls him first, says, hey, we're going to make you the pick here. We're well, excited to come to Tennessee, blah, blah, blah. Hands the phone to Saleh. Saleh grabs the phone and goes,
Cardinal Tate.
That's how he started the phone call with Cardinal Tate. So that's Saleh's voice, which is why it's become a drop. I got another question from The Truth. Can we follow your plays, your lineups on Prize Picks? I'm not going to read this word for word because we're not supposed to say this word here because it's a daily fantasy app. It is not a sports book. But yeah, we'll set that up so that you can follow us. I mean, you can follow me for sure. Justin's in Canada. It's a little harder for him to get you to follow him from there. But and then I got another one here. I just want to correct the audience. The whole reason I put this up from J-Turn. Prize Picks bet over/under 0.5 Super Bowl wins for Vrabel in his coaching career. Prize Picks doesn't do bets. They do plays. They do lineups. There's no over or under on Prize Picks. It's more or less. So I just want the Audible Army to be familiar with the lingo that we're using here, Justin, so that they can say it correctly in the live chat.
Yes. Prize Picks plays more or less 0.5 Super Bowl wins for Mike Vrabel in his coaching career. Hard to take the over when you've already had an opportunity
the more,
to win.
The more, not the
hard
over.
Hard to take the more when he's already had an opportunity and didn't close it out. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, always tough to bet the more on one like this.
Yes, exactly. Here's a question I believe you starred from Roster Grids. Edge number 5, if they keep one, Truman Jones or Malik Herring?
It's no longer Jalen Harrell due to the injury. I do think they'll keep one. I mean, the amount of rotation that they plan on doing, you would think 4 is a little too light. I know, you know, Franklin Myers might, you know, rotate in there a little bit, but I do think as of now, I'd be keeping a 5th edge on my projection. I thought Truman Jones looked all right in that game. I thought Malik Herring looked all right. I'm referring to the preseason game, of course. I am leaning Malik Herring as of right now, but I do wonder if they also, you know, after losing Harrell, they look towards maybe the waiver wire, you know, for opportunities once, you know, once cuts are finalized. Remember, they'll be number 4 on the wire initially because they had the 4th pick in the draft this past year. So decent opportunity to add a player or two that gets cut elsewhere.
Right. I do think Malik Herring's an interesting guy, especially with Jalen Harrell out for the year now. Like, he's a guy that could be that fifth defensive end. I do think they would keep five. Jay Turn wants us to kill time with Discord details. Here's the details. The details will be announced on Friday's live show. You guys can hold me to that. And if I have to, like, do it live, like, if I don't have time between now and Friday and I just have to set it up literally live on the stream, I will do that. But it will happen by Friday so we can all chat about joint practice with the Seahawks and chat about Sunday's preseason game and what we're going to talk about on Monday and all that fun stuff. I am going out of town on Friday. I told you guys this the other day. So, like, I'm going to be on a plane for a bit. I may not be involved right off the bat in the Discord stuff. And my wife will probably take my phone and throw it off a cliff if I'm, like, glued to it to talk to you guys on Discord while we're on a little weekend getaway together. But I'll do my best. I'll do my
best. Easton Freeze, while you start the next question, with a fun update from camp. A lot of training camp runs are highly questionable. Nothing questionable about the highway Cam Ward just had, escaping vertically from the pocket to an empty right side of the field. Would have been a monster gain in game. Was a big third down look near the end of practice here.
That's fun. Love to see Cam use his legs more. We talked about that yesterday, how much we expect Dable to design runs for Cam. But what we really need to see is him have a more decisive willingness to use his legs to get out of trouble. Not every scramble around in the pocket has to be trying to make a giant play downfield. But yes, Garrett is telling me, to quote you, Justin, leave the wife, do whatever you got to do.
What other questions did I have, start? I just wanted to throw that one up on the screen real quick.
I don't know. You want to take
a
look?
Was
that it? Yeah, that's it. But we do have a super chat from an angry fetus, 555. Looking forward to J.C. Latham leading the revolution. We are the people's team now, comrades. Yeah, if you missed it on Monday, J.C. Latham was asked, it seems like you're playing more physical this year. You've got that physicality, that edge to you. Is that something that was like something that was instructed they wanted to see more of? Is that just coming back healthy this year? What is that? And his response was, there's no revolution without bloodshed. So he wants to be violent. He wants to be physical. I love it.
That was something. I don't know what music you're playing, but I'll take it.
Me neither. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, I don't think you hit the correct... It was not the correct drop. Do I got to take over the soundboard?
Maybe so. I'm a little
Graber
distracted.
Failed at hitting the thing, but he hit it now. It was like an NFL film soundtrack, Jay Turn says. I'm not sure what it was, but...
Well, that is the idea, but it's actually copyright-free music I use on Heed the Call to sound like NFL films. How about that?
You are brilliant at what you do. Speaking of the J.C. Latham thing... Will Lomas has a really good article dropping on Titan Size tomorrow about the difference in the O-line this year and how it feels like they're so much tougher this year than they were a year ago and how that could lead to a bigger difference than we realized in the performance of this offensive line.
I'll hit this question just because it's here. Ray Skull sucks for the player, but is a positive for the Titans this season with Jaden Higgins being injured. I wanted to bring this up just to talk about, and I don't want to jinx anything, so I'm going to knock on my desk and say that, yes, the Titans lost Jalen Harrell for the season. They lost rookie Jaron Kanick for the season. But by and large, they've dodged a lot of bullets here. There's been a couple of scares that turned out to be nothing. Dan Moore was one of them. Obviously, Carnell Tate on Monday was a big one. Other teams around the league have not been so fortunate. Tyler Biadasz in L.A. for the Chargers, potentially out for the season, getting second opinions on his ACL injury. They're not calling it a tear. It's an injury. Jaden Higgins out for the season. The Jags lost their starting guard and just traded for a guy who played for John Harbaugh in Baltimore and then took him with him to New York and then traded him.
Daniel Falele, I believe it's
3 weeks into training camp. There's been some injury stuff around the league that is scary. Alvin Kamara is going to miss a month. Jordan Tyson, thank goodness the Titans took Carnell Tate instead of Jordan Tyson, who I never wanted because, wait, was there Kevin Costner's voice playing? I don't even know what I was doing.
No, I think... That was in response to the Carnell Tate thing, I think. So it must have been a joke.
Oh.
It's very clear it was Robert Saleh's voice.
Well, I mentioned that. It's funny because the song that I hit on accident when I was trying to hit the super chat drop sound was what we used for Heed the Call to intro our draft day live watch-along last year or from April. Where was it last year? Was it this year or last? I don't even remember. But the point is that Kevin Costner obviously stars in that movie. So what a crazy.
Hope you didn't jinx it, because the latest update from practice is Keldrick Falk walks off the practice field, shoulder in pain, being checked out by trainers. He is with Director of Sports Medicine, Matt Gregg, favoring his right shoulder. That comes from Teron Davenport, Terry McCormick. Hopefully nothing there. Obviously, it literally just happened, so there's no update. But Keldrick Falk obviously in a little bit of pain as he walks off the practice field right at the end of practice, essentially. They're wrapping up now. So that's one of the final plays, I guess. Keldrick Falk down in some pain.
Well, that's disappointing for a rookie to miss any time in training camp. It's disappointing. Hopefully it's minor. We will see. Can answer this just because it's here. D. Christoffel, if someone already asked or said, my bad, but what is Trubisky injury? Bicep thing he dealt with on Monday, but he's fine. He was back to work today, practicing in full. So no limitations or worries there. Falk can take a redshirt year and beef up, says Hershey Forever. I mean, yes and no.
No, absolutely not. No, I want him to play his rookie season. And by the way, he's pretty big. He's big and long. It's not like he needs a year.
He's big and long. God, Justin, jeez.
He's big and long because your desk's not wood. It seems to be a lot going on here quickly.
My desk is like a composite wood. Like, it looks like wood, but I'm not 100% sure it's actual wood. So I'm not going to say that it is wood, but I think it's wood. I mean, I hope it's wood.
You didn't want to say knock on wood in case it's not wood. It's not wood and there's a reverse jinx. Love that.
Exactly. This cabinet behind me is solid oak. So I'll knock on that. Jesus Christ. All right. I think that's enough, Justin.
That's not rich mahogany like Ron Burgundy's office. I can tell you that. That thing came apart with just a single
knock. My light fell. See, you can see it behind the
helmet.
And
now I'm not
there.
On the screen anymore.
Well, I had to widen my shot to show the people what happened behind me. But anyway, Justin, I got to go. I got to get ready for Heed the Call. So you want to keep talking, feel free. I'm going to pop off or we can end the stream. It's been 48 minutes. I think that's good enough.
Buck Rising just said on radio, I think they're about to pop Keldrick Falk's shoulder back in. I mean.
That's cool.
Is that good? That doesn't sound good.
Two ways to look at that. Sorry, I put the light back up. Two ways to look at that is like sometimes a dislocation or something similar, minor dislocation can be popped back in and then like within a couple of weeks, he'll be normal. Or it could be a sign of a very severe shoulder injury. We'll have to keep an eye on that one. Because it happened right at the end of practice, I'd be pretty doubtful that Robert Saleh even has anything to say about it when he gets to the podium here soon. But probably we'll just say something along the lines of, we'll get him checked out and hopefully he'll be okay. I think I can predict that one after just a couple of months of covering Robert Saleh. Justin, anything else we want to hit? I got to run. I got to get on a phone call here, so I really need to go. But
I think that's going to do it. RP says, all my homies pop each other's shoulder back in. Graver had to pop his cabinet back in. There's a lot of popping back in going on. On the Music City Odyssey as we wrap up. Titans just wrapped up practice. I'm about to interview Marcus Harris. Graver is about to go for Heed the Call. I'll have that Marcus Harris story up on Titan Size first thing Friday morning. Talk about the secondary, new coverage rules and struggles. Lots to talk about with Marcus Harris. Until tomorrow, when we're back on the Music City Audible talking Tennessee Titans football, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.